In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, happy Easter indeed. Hail thee, festival day. Easter Sunday is always such a joy, maybe especially for church professionals, and for a lot of reasons, and among which is that it's a chance to see old friends and family, folks returning home for the holiday, and of course, there's the beauty of spring. I do very much want, again, to welcome all of you, and especially those of you who are visiting or who are returning home. Hospitality is as at the forefront of All Saints' values, and occasions such as this are a fine opportunity to lean into it. And as I have noted, that hospitality will be in liquid form, champagne and mimosas, as well as the solid form of petit fours and cheese straws on the bricks just after this service. I do hope that you will linger and raise a glass to our risen King. Easter also makes me always feel a little nostalgic. You know my fondness for etymologies. Those of you who are regulars here know my fondness for etymologies. Nostalgia is a Greek word. It's actually two Greek words smashed together, and it means an aching to return home. Of the Easters of my youth, my home and my youth, I remember especially the sundresses and the seersucker at All Saints Chapel at Suwannee, where I went to college an increasing number of decades ago. My fraternity brothers and I were particularly keen on the sundress part of the sundresses and seersucker equation. And in the decades before that, there was the Easter hymnody already becoming familiar in my teenage and childhood years, and the glorious intimations of springtime, flowers, the vividness of the grass in the courtyard at St. George's Church in Griffin, where I grew up, and where we hunted for Easter eggs, as we did this morning, and where mine was among what T.S. Eliot called the hidden laughter of children in the foliage. It's a blessed thing to remember and to return home for Easter or for Christmas, to return from school, to return to the place you were first raised, and when you are grown, it's a blessed thing to return to school for reunions and for homecomings and the like. And apropos of Easter, and surely the most blessed of all possible returns, it is blessed to return from the grave. I was telling someone the other day about how, as a child, I always had a vague expectation that once I had grown up, life would attain a kind of stasis and stability. I would finally stop growing and attain my full stature. I would not have to move from grade to grade in school. I would have a house, presumably, and a job, and a family, and a routine. And that's how things would be forever. As I say, these were kind of vague expectations, not things that I really thought about systematically. But insofar as I thought about them, I thought about them in these terms. Growing up would mean that life would attain a sort of durable equilibrium. Things would stop changing. Of course, you don't have to live long to become disabused of such a fond hope. Careers, after all, have arcs. Institutions come and go, as do even empires and civilizations. Fortunes change. Babies are born. Loved ones die. As the philosopher Heraclitus, long before Socrates even, Heraclitus said famously, "No man can step in the same river twice, for it is not the same river, and he is not the same man." In short, time flows in one direction only, and time is irretrievable. But nostalgia, the aching to return home, or maybe even in broader terms, the aching for a permanent home, is set deep in human consciousness. Ultimately, I don't think it is anything different from the restlessness that St. Augustine described in his Confessions, when he said that God had made us for himself and that our hearts are restless, ever restless, until they find a rest in God. Another way of putting it, nostalgia will continue until we find, as it were, our full stature, until we find that life-encompassing equilibrium and an eternal home. And under a certain aspect, that's what Easter is all about, the satisfaction of a return and the fulfillment of longing. Over the last week or two, I've been thinking about the figure of Mary Magdalene in today's gospel and in the chapter before it, which we read last night. Mary Magdalene was certainly aching on that first Easter morning and longing for the return of something that she had lost. She was treating her neuralgia with the best medicine that she knew when she first came to the tomb looking for the body of her friend and teacher in order to embalm it, to fix it permanently, as permanently as you can fix a dead body. But the thing is, the Lord had already given his body to her and to the other disciples, his friends, at the Last Supper. "Take, this is my body," he said. But the mode of his presence was henceforth to be heavenly and spiritual, for flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, a permanent home. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You should not think for a moment that I'm suggesting that Jesus did not rise bodily from the grave. The witness of the Gospels is unambiguous on this particular point, and that is precisely the miracle, the new and marvelous thing that makes of Easter such a welcome and happy morning, which age to age shall say. The tomb was empty, alleluia. But I'm talking about the implications of that fact. With the resurrection of Jesus, human flesh, hitherto determined by nostalgia, alienation, suffering, sin, and death, has become spiritual and heavenly. And this is the mode of our Lord's presence with us until he returns in glory. He has constituted the kingdom of heaven on earth in the form of this very community in the midst of which we sit, the baptized, those who have been baptized into his death and resurrection, and who celebrate the new Passover of his body and blood. That is fundamentally what it means to belong to Christ, and therefore to live a life exemplifying the impossible, a life no longer determined by nostalgia, corruption, and death. To be sure, we still live in the same old world, do we not? As Bono sang famously, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for." But we no longer belong to that world because we belong to the Lord of the world to come, the Lord of heaven. Death is still a thing, but it is no longer determinative. Jesus has stripped it of its power. Now may I plead with you. Our temporal order, the captivating world of social media and the news cycle, this region of dissimilitude, as St. Augustine called it, this temporal order is increasingly shaky, is it not? It is so important for the Lord's disciples, for Christians in our time and place, to renew our commitment to Christ and to his church. And that means, in part, seeing the church from Christ's perspective, and not just as another frail and disappointing human institution like the Boy Scouts or the Justice Department. The truth is that Christians may no longer coast along. We are asked to be deliberate, to make a determination, a resolution, namely to live our lives on the terms of the risen Christ, the Lord of heaven, which means, in part, attending more to the duties than to the benefits of membership in his body. The time has come, to paraphrase President Kennedy, to ask not what Christ and his church can do for you, but to ask what you can do for Christ and for his church. This, more than anything else, can be your and your family's anchor. And thus it means that your duty can itself become a benefit. It means remembering the claims of this community to which you belong, and that it is for you the place where heaven and earth intersect. It means remembering your true home. It means seeing and hearing beyond the nonsense and the noise of the world of the flesh and discerning the heavenly archetype, even beyond the lilies and the spring green grass and the seersucker and the mimosas, beyond the shafts of sunlight and the floating dust, beyond even the hidden laughter of children in the foliage. This is my Easter prayer. And it was already the prayer of the 6th century hymnographer Fortunatus, the author of the hymn that we sang a few minutes ago. O Lord Jesus, show your face to each of us, unambiguously in brightness. Lord Jesus, bid our nation to see. Bring us again to the daylight that comes only with the brightness of your resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.